Greetings of grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon text for this Sunday morning, which is the sixth Sunday after Pentecost, will be taken from the Gospel of Luke. A very powerful part of Scripture, there's no doubt about it. We're going to read from Luke 11. We're going to read verses 1 through 13. And I would ask that you remain seated for the reading of this Gospel text. We are breaking all boundaries today. We are coming to the understanding we honor God no matter where we are, no matter how we are standing or sitting, and no matter what we're wearing. So let's unite our hearts as we read this in Jesus' name. And it came to pass, as he was praying in a certain place, when he had ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also had taught his disciples. And he said unto them, When ye pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it so is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And he said unto them, Which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, Friend, lend me three loaves. For a friend of mine is journeying, and come to me, and I, having nothing, set before him. For from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not, the door is shut now, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh shall it be opened. And if a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he ask for an egg, will he give him or offer him a scorpion? If then you, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit to them that ask. Amen. Let's unite our hearts in a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we pray that you would be with us as we look to your word today. We pray, Father, that we would not look to the facade of a man, but rather, Father, that we would hear from your truth. We ask that you would allow your Spirit to be present, that you would encourage us in and through the truth, because, Father, we know your word is truth. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, good morning, everybody. My name is Jesse Aho. I happen to be the pastor here at Zion. And this is what I look like. I even have, and it's nice to see so many guests here. Yes, guests, I generally do wear a suit. And we have a tendency to gauge that the pastor is the one running around in a suit. So today, I guess Mark was the pastor. And I realized something today, that I'm getting rid of Dumbo's feather. Too many times in life, we think it's something that makes the individual on the external. If you remember the story of Dumbo, he had these big ears. And he could be really a good act in the circus if he could fly. And someone gave him a feather and he held onto that feather. And he decided because he had that feather, he could fly. But when he lost his feather, he thought he couldn't fly. I'm asking the Lord to reveal to me I can preach without a suit. And I'm also asking that the Lord reveal to you that I am a human being and I am not perfect. That I am flawed in so many ways. And I want you to look around the room today and realize I am one individual in a group of 200. And this is not about a ragging on a congregation. This is actually a call to you to seek from your God. That I can't fulfill everything. I had a couple people just this week, and I'm not making fun of it. I had a couple people that saw me in public because I was running around and I was trying to get stuff done for Camp Lutty. And they actually said, oh, we didn't know who you were. Not just one, three. And that's nothing wrong. I've done the same thing. But we have a tendency to think that someone is able to fill a position or do a position because of how they look or what they may be wearing. But do we hear the words and are we asking God to deliver what we need delivered? I was able to sing today the praise songs, even though I wasn't wearing my suit. And by the way, Erica, that was a beautiful song when you sang, which one was that? The opening one, The Love of God? I could listen to Erica sing that all day long, so thank you for that. But the fact of it is, the disciples, they're following Jesus. See, and I think it's kind of interesting how we think all of our pastors have to look different. And in our groups, it's kind of halfway. Some say you should wear ties, some say you shouldn't. I don't know. But the point being, we have a tendency to look towards the external all the time. But it says that Jesus, he couldn't be told, they couldn't tell him apart from the crowd. He wasn't odd. And I was saying, seeing Ryan in the crowd makes me remember that. Welcome to all the guests. Wonderful to have you all here. And Ryan was a board member of mine in Alston for years and years. And he's never seen me preach in jeans and a shirt before, too. So this is not a habit of mine. I did once, though, when I overcame cancer. Someone gave me a shirt celebrating it, and I wore it that one Sunday. Point being is, Jesus blended in. But his words were powerful. When they heard Jesus praying here in this text, the first thing his disciples do is they turn around and they ask him, teach us to pray. Because his prayer had impact. They weren't looking at his suave beard, or they weren't looking at the way his hair was cut. They didn't check out his purple robe or white robe or whatever robe he was wearing that day. They didn't check out the threads. They heard his words and they had impact. And there was another thing. They had desire. They had desire to learn. I was asked today to speak louder, so I am, because some people are having ear issues today. So I'm not yelling at you. I've been asked to speak louder. But they had impact, and people were desiring to have that power. Not for themselves even, but more or less in their lives. So they said, teach us to pray, just as John taught his people to pray. We want that encouragement. Do we ask? Do we ask God to teach us even in that? Lord, I don't even know what to pray for. It says in the scripture, when we don't know, that the Spirit makes intercession for us. That's where this text will end. Do we ask for the Spirit so that we have that ability? But they turn around and they ask him this. And so does Jesus chastise them? Does he beat them up and say, well, what's wrong with you guys? Don't you know your prayer book? Or go to the pastor and see if he can pray for you. He teaches them. If you want to do this prayer as a rogue, I'm sure it's fine. If you want to repeat it just as it is, that's fine. If you also, he's giving us an instruction on how to pray. And that's really what he brings out here. He says, when you pray, he says, the first thing you do is you acknowledge God the Father in heaven. That's what he's bringing across. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed. Hallowed be your name. What does that mean? Is it like a log where it's hollow inside? It means holy, sanctified. He says, Heavenly Father, we know you're in heaven and your name is holy. It is above everything else. That's who we're praying to. And so when he brings this out, he says very straightforward. You pray to your Father in heaven, you understand that his name is holy, and you acknowledge his kingdom upon this earth. It is found in his believers. It is found in his body. He says, your kingdom come. He says, and your will be done. What does that mean? We do that often when we go somewhere. Oh, so-and-so, have a good day or have a good trip if the Lord so wills. We make a statement like that all the time. But what's that mean? If God wants. And that's really what he's saying. God, you're in heaven. We understand that. You're in heaven, but you're not far from us. Your name is holy and your kingdom is here upon this earth. And we desire for your will to be done. I forgot my collection. We desire for your will to be done. Can you imagine? So Jesus says, first and foremost, acknowledge your Father. Acknowledge how holy he is. He says, acknowledge in reality that his kingdom is established here on earth. Because that's what Christ is doing. He says, and your will be done upon this earth, just as it is in heaven. Nothing will thwart your will. Nothing. And then he says, then you ask for yourself. And sometimes we wonder about that. Are we selfish? You know how many times we get that? Am I selfish because I'm always praying for myself? I can't answer that. But he does tell us to ask. He says, give us this day our daily bread. Make sure we have enough provision for today. For today. He says, and please, forgive us our sins. Forgive us our sins. And this is very interesting. It has kind of almost a conditional twist to it. But I don't know if it's so conditional, more or less as in operation of. He says, as we are also forgiving those that are indebted to us. That's really the proper terminology, indebted. We have people that are indebted to us, and sometimes we hold that debt over their head all the time. Well, you did this, or you did this, or you did this. God the Father says, in and through Jesus Christ, I see nothing. You are my child. I have redeemed you. Have I screwed up? Yes. Have I gone kittywampus at times? Absolutely. But God, for the sake of Jesus Christ, in the times of my ignorance, the scripture says he winks at. He overlooks. We are called to do the same. See, our sin is a debt towards God. But Jesus came and paid that debt. He paid that debt. He brings it out so straightforward. He says, forgive us our debts in reality as we're forgiving other people's debts. He says, and don't lead us into temptation. Our God does not lead us into temptation. It is our own flesh that draws us to temptation. It is the adversary that works upon that flesh. But it is not our God. He is victorious over all of this. And this is something that really we need to understand, that we are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. We sang that. We read that. We are more than conquerors. In other words, sin oftentimes will continue to hold us when we're not in Christ. We'll keep coming back to the same old, same old, same old. But yet, in and through Jesus Christ, it's a vanquished foe, and we are set free. Free. You remember that description I've given you before, and it's not my description, but it was one that I heard as going through seminary, where you had Napoleon the Great, where he would go around and he was conquering all these areas, but the problem is he had to leave people behind all the time because there would be these uprisings and they had to reconquer the area at times, and it was very expensive to do this. In Jesus Christ, we don't have to fight the battle ourselves. It is done. This is the victory that we stand in. We are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. And so in reality, he says, don't lead us into this temptation. He says, actually deliver us from evil. So this is exactly what we're asked to pray for. The acknowledgement of God, how perfect he is, his will being done upon this earth as his kingdom is established, that we would have exactly what we need for this day, and that we would be forgiven. As we also forgive. He says that temptation would be drawn away from us and that the evil one would be a conquered foe. Man, that's a pretty cool prayer. Really encompasses a lot, doesn't it? And then he goes on to give a good description. So which one of you, having this friend, all of a sudden in the middle of the night, someone comes knocking on your door, and it's your buddy. He's coming over from Elo, and it was a long journey, and it's midnight. And you know, he's probably hungry, his team is probably hungry, everybody's probably hungry, all those that are with him, and you don't have anything left. And he says, in reality, you're not going to stand for this. You're going to go running over to your neighbor. There's really kind of, I want to use the word embarrassment, but that's not enough. It's almost shame that's tied with this. We get embarrassed or we have shame when we don't have something to offer. So then we run over to someone else's house in the middle of the night. It doesn't matter that it's a bad time. And you knock on the door and you're telling your buddy, hey, listen, so-and-so came from Elo. And you know, he's got his buddies with, I have nothing to serve them. It's midnight. The guy laying on the floor with his kids, that's really what this means, because they had small housing back in this day. They all would have been hunkered down in the main room sleeping. He's like, listen, it's in the middle of the night. All my children are sleeping. You know what that's like, mothers. You have your child finally asleep after a busy day. You're going crazy. You know that the kid has just got to sleep, and someone comes driving by with a loud car or motorcycle, and you think, if they wake my kid. This guy's like, my kids are in bed. I can't get out of bed and wrestle around without waking them up. He says, though he wouldn't do this because he's your friend, out of really more you pestering him, and also, once again, tied to this is shame. He doesn't want to be seen as greedy or lazy or anything else. Doesn't that motivate us a lot in our lives? I know I really don't want to go to this event, but, you know, so-and-so's counting on me, so I got to go. I'm really tired, and I don't want to deal with this right now, but so-and-so wants me to, and I don't want him to think ill of me. He turns around and he talks about this in this aspect of, you know, being persistent is also going to play on the emotions of the other individual. He says, even though he says he's not going to, because of your relentless asking, he's going to get up. He's going to get up and he's going to give you everything that you need. And what was asked for in this description may not seem like much to us. We can run to Walmart right now for 88 cents and get a loaf of white bread. We have first world problems in our nation. He was asking for 3 loaves of bread. Everything was baked in the homes back in this day. This was a tall order for someone to actually take food from their table and give it to another individual, especially in the middle of the night. So a tall order. But he says he gets up and he actually will give this bread. Really, so that you'll go away, or because of this, he doesn't want to be embarrassed, or because of your persistence in asking. And so he's acting more here in the emotional value. And so he says, now, understanding that, he says, this is what I want you to do. Ask. How often do we ask? See, not only have I had people, and please don't think that I'm ragging on anybody. I'm not. I do the same thing. But this is a call for us to think for a little. Not only have I had people see me in public and say, well, I didn't know who you were. Or I don't recognize you without your suit on. I want you to recognize me without my suit on. I want you to understand I am, yes, called to a higher position in the ministry. But you're not listening to me. It's not about Jesse, the pastor. It's about the Word of God. And when you see me err, don't be surprised. Because I'm not too surprised when you make a mistake. I work with Dan Foote every day. He makes mistakes all the time. Just kidding, Dan. I'm thankful for you. The point is that we are humans. And we will err. But when it comes to the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God, it is not my job to save you. I can't save your daughter. I can't save your son. I am not Jesus Christ. I am a man also as you. Even when we look to Revelation and that elder stands before John, and John falls to his knees, that elder says, "Get up! I am a man just as you. I am a man just as you. I have the opportunity of sharing the gospel. I have the opportunity of bringing forth, hopefully, God's word. When you hear something that is not, that is me. And that needs to be forgiven." But the reality of it is sometimes we look to individuals and say, "You know, your messages, they aren't deep enough for me. Or you are the hope that my son would come here and do this and this and that." That's not my position. My position is to preach the gospel and allow God, through the power of his word, by the power of his Holy Spirit, to do his work. But the question I have for you is, do you ask? Do you seek from God personally to interact in your life, to allow his word to have impact? Not only do I have a responsibility as a pastor while I'm sitting there to ask God, "Please, be consistent to your word today. Please, be able to empty me of myself and allow your word to come forth. Please, glorify yourself today, Father." You have the responsibility of saying, "Father, I need you. I don't need what Jesse Aho has to offer you. I need you. I need your word. I need your spirit. And I desire for you to come into my life. I can't give that. If I could give that, I'd give it to my own children. My kids would be front row right here. I can't give that. But I know the one who can. It is Jesus Christ, my Lord." He says, "Ask." How often do we ask? Are we too busy running around blaming other people? He says, "I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given unto you." He says, "Seek, and you will find it." He says, "Knock, and it will be opened." Brothers and sisters in Christ, it's not me. And I'm not telling you these things. It is God's word. Even if you look in your King Jimmy right there, it's probably printed in red. Because it says that is Jesus Christ himself saying it. He says, "Ask and you will receive." Sometimes we don't like what we receive. He says, "Seek and you will find." Sometimes we don't like what we'll find. And knock. Sometimes when we knock and that door is open, we want to go to a different door. But God has purpose for all of these circumstances in our life. And he calls us to ask, he calls us to seek, and he calls us to knock so that we could in reality see who he is. Not some guy standing here in a suit. We can have all the pomp and circumstance we want, but that is not Christianity. I'm not saying we shouldn't dress up. I'm not saying we shouldn't have a reverence. I have a great reverence for this. I've been chastised for coming up here and doing this. Can you imagine? I'm honoring God. But I also honor God when I do this. It's the intent of the heart. We need to stop looking at the externals. We need to stop, in reality, looking at everybody else. And we need to have this relationship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We need to ask God the Father to reveal to us what we have need of in our lives. We need to ask. He says, everyone that asks receives, and everyone that seeks will find. And him that knocks, he says, it shall be opened. This is a promise of God. But remember how we open this. We honor you, God. We know you're in heaven. We know that you are blessed and you are holy. We want your will to be done. Sometimes when we ask, it's not my will. We don't like it. Sometimes when we seek, it's not my will. We don't like it. When we knock, it's not my will. We don't like it. Then he turns around and he makes a statement. He says, which one of you? He says, if a son should ask of bread of his father, will you give him a stone? In a healthy mind, you will not. In a twisted, warped mind, you might. But really, Jesus is talking here on the average loving parent that has a child. When the child comes to you and says, I'm hungry, do you shove rocks in their mouth? That's what this means. No, you give them bread. Which one of you? He said, and then you turn around and you look at it. He says, and if he asks for a fish, do you turn around and give him a snake? No. You give them a fish. And if they ask for eggs, I mean, you know, you get up in the morning and you ask your wife, hey, I'll have some 2 eggs over easy. Dan Foote has yet to serve me scorpions. Never. You know? No scorpions in my breakfast. And then he turns around and he makes this statement. You're flawed individuals. You're messed up. But yet you know how to give good gifts. Then he comes back to the main point. If you then, being evil, in other words, in your sinful nature, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give you of the Holy Spirit? Of the Holy Spirit when you ask Him. See, this is why I say, I can't give it to you. I can't give you faith. I can preach faith. I can preach the gospel. And maybe I do it in simplicity, but that's okay. It's still the gospel. If I could give it, oh man, that'd be awesome in some ways, wouldn't it? Because I'd give it to the ones I like. Maybe I wouldn't give it to the others because I don't really want them around me. But he says very plainly, if you, being in your sinful nature, know how to treat your children with love and respect and give them what they need, how much more will God your Father give you, very directly, the Holy Spirit, if you ask? The question I have for each and every one of you and myself, do we ask? Or are we Archie Bunker? Archie Bunker told Edith once or twice in the whole show that he loved her. Because he said it once, that was enough. We're not Archie Bunker. Ask daily. Because this flesh rises its head daily. Stop looking to other people to fulfill you. Stop looking to other people to bring you contentment or to do whatever you think they need to do. And ask God in reality to reveal himself to you, to allow the circumstances around you to grow stronger in his word, in his truth, and to be filled with his spirit, that you could have an impact around. I don't discredit suits. I don't discredit any of this. But these things of themselves are not my salvation. My salvation is founded in Jesus Christ and him alone. And I am gifted as a child of God, his Holy Spirit. And it is our responsibility also to ask. Ask your Father that he may gift you with this gift. For Jesus' name's sake, amen. Let's unite our hearts in a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we praise and we thank you for